must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver, make of my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
John chapter 8, verse 44. John 8, 44. Jesus says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." I don't know if you can detect the obvious hatred that Jesus Christ has for the devil. An obvious, clear despising that he has for the devil. "You're of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. He was a liar. This creation, he's no good from the start, from the beginning of the world." Of course, not from the beginning of his creation, but from the beginning of the world, he was a murderer. It's obvious that Jesus is accusing these people of being children of the devil. And it's obvious also that he's not speaking of children physically. He's not talking about physical, not even some mystical spiritual way in which these people, these Jews that were going about to kill him, he calls them the children of the devil. In fact, if you read the whole passage, you'll find that he several times explains what he's talking about. He says, "You're trying to kill me." He says, "You're of your father. You're doing what your father would do." And they said, "Well, we're children of Abraham. What are you talking about, our father?" He said, "No. If you were children of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham." So we're talking about people who are children of the devil by the choice of their works, by the choice of their actions, by the choice of who they're wanting to follow. If they were children of Abraham, they would do the works of Abraham. And they said, well, our father is God. If you're talking about that kind of begetting, well, we're all from God. He said, no. How is it that you can't understand? How is it that I can say the same thing over and over and over again, and you still aren't catching on? He said, if you were of God, you would love me. I came from God, but you don't love me. You must be of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father ye will do. That is, you want to do. You choose to do. You want to do the lusts of your father. You know, a lot of people think they're their own man, making their own decisions in life. Think that they are an independent creation of God, just going their own way. Have you ever noticed how people want to, they'll go to the store and buy something because they want to be different? And yet they're buying something sold in a store. It's obviously, there's hundreds of people have that. Whatever it is. Somebody sees a tattoo of a snake, and so they'll go get a tattoo of a snake because they want to be different. Isn't that dumb? I mean, you're getting a tattoo because you saw somebody else have one. You're not being different. You're not your own man. In fact, the Bible makes it clear that we are in the midst of a spiritual conflict and that we are choosing sides every day. And people who choose the devil's side are on the devil's side. Jesus is saying, so simple, you're of your father the devil. Why? Because that's who you choose to follow. That's the kind of works you're choosing to do. You're going down that path that he trod. You're going down the path that he showed you how to go. You're following his lead, his desires. It says, the lusts of your father you will do. Now, we are creatures of lust. Lust, of course, simply desire, specifically sensual desire. Sensual desire, meaning in the sense, and having to do with our senses. We can lust for food. We lust for sexual pleasure. Or we even lust for beauty and lust for things that bless the senses, that help our senses or makes us feel good. The fact is, lust is so much part of our existence. In fact, I would venture to say that just about all the decisions we make during our day have to do with our lusts, our desires, satisfying the flesh. I've used the illustration many times that in many ways it's hard to tell the difference between human beings and dogs, because all of the things that human beings want, dogs want. Have you ever driven down a country road and seen all the cattle in a field hovered under one tree? I've seen that. You know why? They want the shade, just like you. A dog wants to eat, just like you. A dog wants the sexual pleasure, just like you. A dog wants to be cool, just like you. A dog's willing to fight for his territory, just like you. You have to actually dig a little deeper to find any difference between you and the common beast, the common animal. We are creatures of lust, and we live in a lustful way. Lusting after this, lusting after that. Our eyes are wanton. They go from one thing to the next. Do you realize just how much pain and trouble you would save yourself if everything you lusted after, everything you wanted to buy, you waited till tomorrow to do it? Amen. Boy, you would save yourself a lot of money. And it's not, you don't have to tell yourself no. You don't have to say, no, I abstain from this. Just say, all right, I'll buy that tomorrow. You walk in the store, you see something you like, you think, I like that. Just don't buy it today. Buy it tomorrow. And you're absolutely free and welcome to do it tomorrow. In fact, if you would limit yourself to buying in the store only what you've written down that you want, you'd save yourself a lot of money. Doesn't it bother you when you go into a department store and they've got the stairs sort of scattered around there so that you can't get to the next level or you can't... It used to bother me. You want to get something at the pharmacy in HEB and you got to walk all the way to the back. Well, they do that on purpose. They want you to walk past all those other things you might want. Of course. Because we're creatures of lust. We have desires. We have wants. And we have the habit of buying what we want. Getting what we want. We make our decisions based on what we want. Not reasonable. Many times, actually, they damage us. Our desires are harmful. And yet, we just are creatures of lust. We want it. We want it now. You can know that candy bar is bad for you, but you still want it. So, we're creatures of lust. I understand that. I am too. And probably Americans in this generation are worse than any other generation that ever existed as being creatures of lust. However, it says here, the lusts of the devil you will do. The lusts of the devil. Did you know that the devil is a creature of lust? He has lusts. And his desires is what helps him make his decision. His desires are what motivate him, what make him do these things. It's obvious that Jesus doesn't have a lot of use for the devil. It's obvious that Jesus is against him. And I even detect a loathing here. You have your father the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. We find out a whole lot. We find out a lot about our motivations. I wonder, is it possible that these things that the devil lusts after, these things that the devil loves, that the devil likes, do Christians like these things? Do Christians make these same decisions? Or is it just all those bad people out there? And us good people, we follow God, right? You know something? If you stop and study the devil just a little bit, you'll find out we follow the devil a whole lot more than we should. We are way too much like him. Way too much following in his footsteps. And in the sense that the fatherhood of the devil has to do with our choices, how many times we aren't calling the devil our father? You're of your father the devil because you will do what he lusts after. The lusts of the devil ye will do. Will in this case is not an auxiliary verb. It's an actual verb in its own right. It was translated from an actual word in the Greek. Don't know what it is, but it was. And this word in the Greek simply means to will, to choose, to desire. Exactly like it's translated. Just don't be confused into thinking that this is just some mystical thing. It has to do with your choices. And it says, the lusts of your father, you will do. You want to do that. That's what you like. That's what you desire. The first thing he says is, the devil's a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning. And if you stop and think, that old evil serpent got in there and started deceiving Eve, and he knew what it was going to cause. He knew the damage. He knew the death. He knew the Word of God. And obviously he knew a little bit more about the commandment than Eve did. Ye shall not surely die. He's a liar too. Ye shall not surely die. But when he deceived Eve and caused her to do what would cause her death, he was a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning. He caused her death. And he caused Adam's death. And when you stop and think about Cain and Abel, what is it that could cause disappointment in Cain to turn into envy, then to turn into hatred, and then to turn into murder? He killed his brother. How could that be? Aren't brothers supposed to love each other? Don't they love each other from the time they're young? Aren't they taught to love each other? Well, of course. Aren't they supposed to be the best of friends? Yes. But envy, turning into hatred, turning into murder. You know what happened? The devil made him do it. You say, no. That's us. It's, you know, sin is conceived in our own minds and hearts, and we're making those decisions. The devil, it says Cain was of that wicked one, the devil. He was of that wicked one. Let me tell you something. The devil caused it. And you know why? Because he wanted it. The devil likes death. The devil loves it. He lives for it. The Bible says he has the power of death. Now that's interesting, because the power of death isn't hard. Anybody can kill. You ever seen the movie Arsenic and Old Lace? These frail little old women, little old women killing people. Anybody can kill. Killing's not hard. Little poison, arsenic. Isn't that amazing? How so many people have just taken up the cause of death. I think about those rabid Jews wanting to kill Jesus. Amen. What? Okay, so you don't like what he teaches. You know, use your brains, do something else, and, you know, figure out a way around him. You guys have all the power. Why is the first answer, kill him? Kill him! And then when Paul is preaching, they say, let's kill him! And when they're bested in an argument, kill them! What's wrong with people? They're of their father, the devil. And you stop and think about those Roman emperors when they saw that the Christians were multiplying, or that Nero just doing it because he's crazy, said he'd put them up on a pole and douse them with oil and light them up to light up his gardens. Why? Why? Because they're of their father, the devil. They love to kill. Death is in their blood. They love it. It's an amazing thing. How about all the deaths caused in the Inquisition? When the Roman Catholic Church wanted to douse out all opposition. But they didn't just kill them, they'd torture them first, and then they'd burn them at the stake. Alive. In front of their families. Force their families to watch. Because they're of their father, the devil.
That's right.
They want to kill because they're of their father, the devil. What causes people who are supposed to love God and serve God, and in the name of God, what causes them to want to kill all their adversaries? Did Jesus teach them to do that? Was Abraham that way? Was Paul and Peter that way? No, it was the devil that way from the start. They're of their father, the devil. What is it about these Islamic fanatics? And I'm not talking about terrorists. I'm just talking about Islamic believers, fundamentalists, that can march by the thousands in Europe with placards that say, death to America, death to Israel, death to Britain, death to everything. They just kill them all. That's all they can say. Death is their motto. Because they're of their father, the devil. They're not speaking of their own. They're not speaking their own thoughts. They're speaking the thoughts the devil put in them. What is it about movies that want to see death and they want to see it as gory as possible? I don't want to see that stuff. Don't show me a snuff film. I don't want to see. I mean, what is it about wanting to see this poor guy over there, this contractor over there that got his head cut off and they did it on video and hacked it off? Why do you want to see that trash? What do you like about death? How does that enthuse you? I mean, you get your kick out of horror movies. I don't. But if you do get your kick out of horror movies, why watch horror movies about death? I mean, why does it have to be a chainsaw massacre? Why does it have to be this way? Let me tell you something. The devil loves death. But compare it to our blessed Savior, who came, and not only did he invent life in the beginning, and remember, death's not hard. Now, life, that's another thing. Come up with something good. Do something difficult. Why not put yourself up for a challenge? You want a challenge? Try giving life. Try taking someone on his deathbed and healing them and giving them life. He invented life. He gives life daily millions of times. Over and over and over. People are born by the thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands. I don't know how many people are born every day. Life. God, the author of life, so much life just bursting out everywhere. They've actually gone 5 miles to the bottom of the ocean and found life. Now, they thought they found it on Mars. It turned out they were mistaken. You realize when they found life on Mars, it was on the headlines. I saw it on CNN. I read about it in Discover magazine. I mean, it was everywhere. Then come to find out, they were mistaken. And I didn't see any headlines. You have to actually do a whole lot of deep research to find out how they were mistaken. But they were. They didn't find life on Mars. You know why? There ain't no life on Mars. Life doesn't happen. It has to be made. It has to be created. Anybody can kill. Only God can give life. And Jesus not only gives life, He gives it more abundantly. No wonder the Lord hates the devil. No wonder we ought to hate the devil. What causes joy in the devil to see us die? And why would we ever, in any way at all, even have any type of a truce with the devil if we knew that he joys in our death? That he hates us with such a passion that he wants to see us dead? He's a murderer. The thief comes in to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the devil. He's your enemy. He hates you. He wants to see you dead. He can't wait to see you dead. But not Jesus. He wants you to live. Amen. He came to give you life. Amazing that the Mormons think these folks were brothers. Lucifer and Jesus, brothers. Had a fallen out. They should have read their Bible better. That was Cain and Abel. Jesus and Lucifer are nothing alike. They're different. They are so polar, so poles apart. They're the opposite. The devil loves death, and Jesus gives life. Says he was a liar. The devil's a liar. It doesn't bother him at all to tell you a bald-faced lie. And there's so many bald-faced lies out there. They will tell. I'm telling you, there's lies everywhere. Outright lies. And it's not just politicians. It's not just lawyers. Bald face lies everywhere. I mean, they sell you a car, they'll tell you nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it at all. Bald face lie. Almost you can be sure if a story doesn't make sense, he's lying. Something funny with that story? There's a lie in there. Completely unreasonable, you know, like you talk to a marriage that's breaking up, and you talk to one side, and woo, man, that guy sounds horrible. How could anybody be like that? It's a lie. It's a lie. People are willing to lie. Isn't it amazing? The devil's a liar. He's a liar. There's one good reason for Christians to stop lying. Because the devil's the father of lies. Don't even tell a white lie on the telephone. Because he's the father of lies. You know, you ought to make a pact with the truth. You just make a contract with the truth and say, I will not lie. I'm not going to tell a lie. Now, that doesn't mean if you're going to start practicing telling the truth, you've got to go find somebody you can offend. First thing you do is find somebody whose dress you don't like and say, I don't like your dress. The Bible says the fool uttereth all his mind. And the wise man keepeth it in till afterward. You don't have to say everything you know. You don't have to say everything you believe. You didn't like the way she cooked? You can just say, thank you for this good meal. And if she says, well, did you like it? You can say, it was a good meal. I appreciate all the effort you put into it. But did you like it? No, ma'am. I didn't like it. I would never order that at a restaurant. You ought to make a pact with the truth and tell the truth always, even when you're selling a car. Tell them what's wrong with it. You say, but I'll get half as much. It's fine. Amen. Take half as much.
That's right.
It's worth it. How about when you're buying a car? You know what the proverb says? He says when the buyer says, it's not, it's not. Right. Then when he goes away, he's boasting. He's boasting. He says, look what I got. Look how cheap I got it. The sucker. I told him it's not very good. Why? Why don't we just make a pact with the truth? Why do we want to be like the devil? Why in the world would we follow his lead? He's the liar and he's the father of lies. You know, the Bible calls him a deceiver. It talks about devices. Why does he need devices? It calls him the wiles of the devil. Why would you want to be around anybody that uses wiles? Why deceit? Why can't you just be straight up honest? You know something? You ever heard the statement, cheaters never win? That's not the way the sports stars think of it. They think cheaters win. They'll shoot themselves up with steroids to make more home runs or to ride their bikes faster. And if they win, they think they won. But they didn't win. Because cheaters never win. In fact, what glory is it if you win by cheating? Like in the World Cup just a few years back, and that guy made the winning goal by reaching up his hand and catching that ball and bringing it down and kicking it in. And the ref didn't see it, but everybody else saw it. There's no honor in cheating. What honor is it if you win by trickery? What honor is it if you outsmart the other dope, the sucker? There's no honor in that. I don't understand the devil. You talk about a lowlife. You talk about someone with no character. Why would he get his kicks out of deceiving us? Telling us half the truth. Telling us just a little bit that sounds good. He deceived Eve. The Bible says Eve was deceived. She did not want to disobey God. She was not looking to disobey God. She wanted to do the right thing. But he deceived her. He told her things that weren't true. And it made it look true. And then she saw. And these lusts got a hold of her. Lusts. Here we go again. The devil putting lusts, because the lusts of the devil, he has that same desire to gratify himself immediately, to do what pleasures him, what makes him feel good. And the thing that amazes me are these low life, despicable things that make him feel good. To deceive someone, he's a deceiver. And think about our blessed Jesus, who spoke the truth, the whole truth.
Amen.
And he spoke it openly.
That's right.
He said, I haven't done anything in secret. I've made myself clear. I've said the truth.
Amen.
I've told you what you needed to know.
Amen.
Sometimes it wasn't easy. Sometimes it wasn't something that you wanted to hear. But I've told you the truth. And you go about to kill me, someone who's told you only the truth. Why would you do that? Why would you hate the one that tells you the truth? But they say, sending a messenger to the king, and the messenger is in trouble. If it's bad news. They don't want to hear bad news. He's a deceiver. Jesus spoke the truth openly and opportunely. When you needed to hear it, he told you. You know, Christians ought to practice telling the truth.
Amen.
They ought to practice telling the whole truth.
Amen.
They ought to practice just plain being truthful.
Amen.
If for no other reason, to say no to the devil. To be as far away from the devil as you can be. He's a destroyer. A hinderer. The Bible calls him that. Satan's hindering. You know, we always go to the beach once every 2 or 3 years. We'll go down to the beach, rent a little place there, and go out on the beach. And I always get my kids together. Well, used to. I don't hardly have any kids anymore. I'd always get together, and we would make a project of a sandcastle. I mean, we'd do something big. I mean, we'd take shovels, you know, and we'd do it. We'd do it right. And we would always enjoy that sandcastle, but they didn't last till the next day. Not the waves, not the wind, but the kids. All the people have kids walking up and down the beach. They see the sandcastle, and who knows why, but they got to go. What's wrong with these kids? We put a lot of work into that. It wouldn't have bothered us at all to see it the next morning. But they stomp on it because they're destroyers.
Right.
It's so much fun to destroy things. Why? You know, these nice houses right here catacornered from here, and they got graffiti all over the walls. And it doesn't even say anything. I mean, they're not getting anything across. They're just destroying. They're a bunch of vandals. Shame to say it. When I was a kid, I was a vandal. Why? The lust of your father you will do. They're following the lead of their father, the devil. They choose his works. They choose what he likes. The devil's a destroyer. He's a hinderer. I think of that. That time Paul was talking to this fellow that was very interested, and that Elymas the sorcerer starts bothering him. Boy, that bothers me. You don't know how many times I've talked to somebody downtown and in some place in Mexico or somewhere, I'm talking to them and they're interested and I'm trying to deal with them, and somebody comes up and says, "Hey, what about this? What about this?" And in the mixture, I lost the person that was interested. And it makes me mad. I don't like that. And Paul said, "Thou enemy of all righteousness, full of subtlety and mischief, child of the devil, trying to hinder people from getting saved. Not only will you not enter in, but you keep those that would enter in from entering in. You're all about hindering everybody else. You're all about messing everybody else up, destroying, taking something good and turning it into rubble." It's not hard to destroy. It's hard to build. It's hard to construct something worthwhile and useful. It's hard to design and plan and invest and then put out the effort and then finish it up and get it right and begin to use it. But how easy it is for somebody to destroy it. That's no great feat. So you can destroy something. Big deal. What a lowlife the devil is. How low can you get? What has he done? What is he building? What is he trying for? You think he's got some great motive? Something he's trying to do? No, it's God with all the ideas. It's God with the wonderful plans. It's God that has every good thing prepared for us. It's God that designed it from the start. And all he can do is destroy it. And you know what his motivation is? He loves to destroy. It's the lusts of your father that you will do. It's the lust to destroy, to damage, to hinder. And yet Jesus Christ, He's a builder.
Amen.
He said, "I'll build my church."
Amen.
It's not easy. It takes a long time, a lot of planning. But He's building His church. He's a healer.
Amen.
He takes what's broken and heals it. He takes a destroyed life and salvages it and brings something good out of it. He's a solver. He knows your problems and He can solve them. He can take something that is practically useless and turn it into useful. That's Jesus Christ. Nothing like the devil. Nothing similar. Why are we following the devil? What do we have that makes us this way? Why, when we think it's our flesh, just our own carnality, we think we're just going to indulge the flesh a little bit. Sort of like when you're hungry and you decide to eat. So someday you feel like destroying something, so you just start destroying. No, that's of the devil. That's the devil's lusts. He's a tempter. What deceit is to the mind, temptation is to the flesh. He's a tempter. He wants you to succumb at your weakest point.
Exactly.
Now, let me ask you something. What honor is it to fight someone at their weakest moment or their weakest point? Is there any honor in this creature of lust that has destroyed so many people? Is there something not to hate in this creature? You know what he does? He takes your weakest point. And he lies in wait and he attacks you at your weakest point. You think it's honorable for a big old strapping boy to beat up a defenseless old lady? There's nothing honorable in that. It's just despisable. In fact, you young kids, we've always told our kids, you might have to get into a fight, but don't you ever pick a fight with somebody smaller than you. I got beat up so many times when I was a kid because I was so small. You just got to despise that attitude, that character that would cause somebody small to get beat up. They're of their father, the devil. I used to hate it. You know how many times I've gotten hit by a man in Mexico preaching? Not once. You know how many times Joey has? Marco? Bunch of cowards. You want to pick a fight? Come pick it with me. Why don't you pick on the little people? They're cowards. They're just a bunch of lowlifes. They got no honor. They want to pick on the little people. They like to torture and maim and hurt and kill. But Satan's a tempter. He'll take you at your lowest. You've heard the statement, you don't kick them when they're down. Well, that's because that's the honorable way to do it. When they're down, you don't kick them. Let them get back up again. I mean, let's give them a sporting chance, you know, right? Fight with a little honor. You don't kick them when they're down, but that's when the devil will kick you. At your weakest point. When you're hurting. When things are down, the devil will come and he will tempt you and he will destroy you and he will ruin you. The devil's a lowlife. What are you doing following him? What in the world are you doing setting up on his side? Why are you willing to destroy? Why are you willing to criticize? Why are you willing to hurt? You know who the devil is? He's that guy. He's that fella when another fella decides he wants to quit drinking. He goes and he sees one of his old friends, and that old friend says, come on, let's go get a drink. Yeah. Not yet. That's not the devil yet. And you say, no, you know, I've quit drinking. I got to stop. I've gone too far. I've messed up some things, and I have quit. And he says, no. Come on, let's get a drink anyway. That's the devil. He's a tempter. He wants you to fall. He ain't no friend of yours. You're trying to stop drinking, and somebody invites you to drink, never speak to him again. Walk away and say, you leave me alone, don't you ever speak to me again. Just like Jesus said, get thee hence, Satan. I got nothing to do with you. You're not going to fool me, Jesus says. Somebody tempts you to do evil, stay away from them. They're of their father the devil, and the lust of their father they will do. That's what they want. They want to make you fall into sin. They want to entice you. They want to make you at your weakest point. They'll find out what you like, what you're weak at. They'll find out where your weakest thing is. And that's exactly where they'll hit you. And when you fall, it doesn't give the devil any honor. It just hurts you. You think about this lowlife, the devil, whose only design is to hurt you, to tempt you and make you fall. That's the devil. But not Jesus. Nothing like him. You know what he does? He warns you in plenty of time.
Amen.
He says, don't go down that road.
Amen.
And listen, be careful of this. And be careful of this other thing. And watch out here and watch out there. Take care. Don't fail. You can do it. He warns and encourages and tries to help you through it. And if you've got a weak spot, he tries to help you get it stronger.
Amen.
He's dealing with you to try to help you get it by. He leads through the valley of death. He leads you through it. He doesn't even just send you off on your way. He says, come, follow me. I'll help you through. I'm going to take care of you. Nobody's going to touch you if you just follow me.
Amen.
Just come with me. Why do you choose then those that are tempting you to do evil? Why don't you follow the Lord? He says, I'll walk you through it. I'll lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll be there the whole way. I'll be strong. He makes a way of escape so that you can bear it.
That's right.
That's our Lord. You know what Christians ought to do? They ought to practice discipline.
Amen.
They ought to practice not giving into temptation. They ought to practice staying away from it.
Amen.
If anything, you need to stay away from what the devil likes.
Amen.
You ought to just stay away from what the devil lusts after. Because he's a tempter. He's nothing like our Lord. The Bible calls him an accuser. Anything honorable about being a tattler? Didn't your parents tell you not to tattle? I've told my kids, I don't know how many times, don't you come telling me what somebody else is doing wrong unless they're in danger. Because we don't like tattlers. There's nothing honorable in that. There's the devil. You know what it says? He's up there when he goes to heaven. He's up there accusing the brethren. Do you see them? Do you see what they did? He's accusing them. He accused Job wrongly. He'll even lie about it. He'll accuse you falsely just because he assumes. But he'll accuse you truthfully too. He'll find something you do fail at and he'll make sure he brings it up. Why? What great design does he have? What's he trying to get? Nothing. All he wants to do is embarrass you. All he wants to do is shame the Lord. He wants to make you ashamed. He wants to drag you down. He wants to defeat you. He's an accuser. He focuses on errors. He sows discord among the brethren. He comes up and says, "Have you noticed this about that fellow?" And he speaks it in a deceitful way, like he's saying it out of love. He's a sorry lowlife that only wants to destroy and hurt. He wants to go around and talk behind people's back and never give them a chance to defend themselves. He'll just say, "They're like this," or "They're like that," or "I saw them do this," or, "You know, we need to pray for such and such a fella because he's this way."
Yeah.
Just shut up.
Amen.
You're following the lust of your father, the devil. All you're doing is you're saying, "I like what the devil likes. I like to talk bad about people. I like to run them down. Who can we roast next? Who can we laugh at? Who can we pretend we love? You bunch of liars. Just shut up.
Amen.
Don't say nothing bad about nobody. Isn't that what the Bible says? Speak evil of no man.
Amen.
Don't say it about anybody. You might know it because you heard it. You shouldn't even hear it.
Right.
Just tell them to shut up.
Amen.
But if you hear it, don't say it. Speak evil of no man. Don't bring up anybody's errors. Don't point out anybody's sins. There are certain eventualities that has to be taken care of, and it's taken care of in the proper way, in the proper time, in the church, but not you. You don't say nothing. Speak evil of no man. This is the devil. He's not following the Lord. He's not even anything like the Lord. You know what the Lord does? He's discreet. He's a forgiver. He forgives people who don't even ask Him. He covers your nakedness. He covers your shame. He hides you. The Bible says He's our advocate. He's on our side. He defends us. The devil accuses us, and He defends us. He's our helper. He's like that guy who says, "I'll sponsor you. Come with me. I'll help you out. When you need help, call me. I'll be there." That's exactly who He is. He's trying to help you through the temptation, through the problem. He's not out to knock you down, to embarrass you or shame you. What do you have against Jesus that you love the works of the devil so much? Why would you follow Him? He's no good. I think Christians ought to practice forgiveness. I think they ought to learn to be more like Jesus Christ. I think they ought to follow Him. They call Him His Father, their Father. Children of God, aren't we children of God? Doesn't the Bible give us that blessed title because we're born of His Spirit? And this old flesh is still following the lusts of the devil? Yeah, you say, "Well, you know, it's a fight inside, and sometimes we let the flesh win, and sometimes, you know, we let the Spirit win." No, you're letting the devil win. When you go along with your lust of your flesh, you're letting the devil win. You're saying, "I agree with the devil on this."
That's right.
Sometimes I agree with God, but most of the time I agree with the devil.
Amen.
I like the devil's lusts. What he likes, I like. Why would you be like that? When Jesus has taught us how to be, we ought to practice forgiveness. The devil's a boaster. He's the biggest big shot of them all. He talks about himself. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne beyond the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. Self-centered, only interested in his own things, loves himself. Whatever brings him pleasure, whatever he likes. You think he's thinking about you? You think when he says, yeah, come do this, let's go this way, let's go this way. You think he's thinking about your enjoyment? No, he's thinking about his own. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. It's his desires that he's worried about. He wants the preeminence. This low life, no account creature of God that is so despicable that he wants worship even if it's under false pretenses. He wants worship by deceit. The Bible says he appears as an angel of light. And that people actually worship him thinking they're worshiping God. What a load of nonsense. That's just ridiculous. Why would he be so low as to desire worship when it's not even directed to him? He would take worship even if you're calling him Jesus. That's why I won't bow down to any images. I won't have a Jesus in my house. Because the devil's a lowlife. And that's why God says you stay away from all those images. Stay away from all those idols. Don't put them up in your house. Don't even have anywhere in your land. Not even a painted rock you bow down to. Don't do it. He is so self-centered, so selfish, he wouldn't give. He wouldn't lend. He wouldn't share anything of his own. He wouldn't give you anything. He's not about giving. He's only about taking and stealing and damaging and destroying. That's why Christians ought to practice the opposite.
Amen.
Christians should practice giving. Christians should practice not talking about themselves. Christians should practice humility. And it's true, there is a false humility, a voluntary humility. It doesn't do any good. You've heard it. A proud person talks about himself, and a person who wants to be humble talks bad about himself. But a humble person just doesn't talk about himself. Jesus was meek. He was lowly. He was undemanding and obedient. He cared about others. And he was thinking about others when he gave his own life. When he actually said, I'll sacrifice everything I've got to save, to help, to heal someone else. Not about himself. About us. He loved us so much to give his own life. To save us. It's not about his own enrichment. He did not come out ahead because he saved a bunch of no accounts like us. It's just that he hates the devil so much he wants to destroy the works of the devil. And now that we have been saved by him, I think we ought to hate the devil too. I think we ought to run away from every single thing the devil invites us to. I think we ought to eschew everything he likes. Now, that's what the Billy Sunday said. He said, you find out what the devil's for and I'm against it.
That's right.
He said, the only way to treat the devil is to hit him. Fight him. Hit him. Hate him. We should hate the devil. Probably the best insult anybody ever gave the devil was Job. You know what he said about him? Nothing. Job didn't mention the devil. It was the devil that did it to him. The devil provoked God to kill his 10 children. He killed him. Took away all his riches. Filled him full of sickness. Made his friends turn against him, his own wife. And he never mentions the devil. He always said, "Lord, it was you." Let me tell you something. We ought to focus on our Lord Jesus Christ and follow Him and be like Him and love Him with all our heart. You begin to understand who Jesus Christ is, you'll find the devil's no champion. He's no hero. Calls Him a roaring lion. Talks about Him in this sense of Him being a roaring lion when all He does is lie in wait and attack you and hurt you and kill you. There's nothing admirable about Him. He's just a murderer and a liar and a deceiver and a tempter. And our Jesus Christ has given His own life to save us. Why would we follow the works of the devil? All you can do is hate Him. And everything He's for, you can stand against. You can fight His lusts. You can resist Him everywhere He turns up His ugly face. You recognize the devil? You recognize the devil in your life? You know the devil's putting thoughts in your head? He's talking to you. He did it to Peter. I guarantee you He can do it to you. The devil is putting stuff in your mind. The devil is tempting you. The devil's trying to get you to fail. He's trying to get you to turn off the right way. He's trying to get you to focus on anything but Jesus Christ. He wants you to be like Him. Because then He can just chew you up and spit you out. And He'll enjoy it. And Jesus Christ is saying, don't be like Him. I come to give life and to give it more abundantly. I came to destroy the works of the devil. It's time we begin to deal with our lusts by knowing where they come from. It's time we stop being destroyers and tempters and weak and basically unaware of what the battle is around us. We ought to love Jesus Christ with all our heart and get to know Him and try to be like Him. Let's stand and sing number 242.